You're listening to the sounds of protests from China from earlier today. Those are thousands, potentially, of Chinese protesters protesting in a dispute over a chain of uninhabited islands. It's causing a lot of tension between China and Japan, and in some ways, it's starting to get ugly. You can kind of hear it there in that cut. Now, in China, these islands are called Diaoyu, and in Japan, they're called Senkaku, but in either language, it's called trouble. Activists from Hong Kong, Macau, and mainland China who've landed on one of the islands were detained by Japanese officials on Wednesday and deported on Friday. Then in response, Chinese protesters, apparently thousands of them, rallied in the streets in nearly a dozen cities. There have been demonstrations that have been growing increasingly violent. Cars have been overturned. Protesters have attacked businesses perceived to have a Japanese connection, you know, for instance, sushi restaurants and things like that. We're joined now by Keith Bratcher. He's Hong Kong bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, who's in Hong Kong for us. Keith, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us on this. Now, I said in the intro there the word uninhabited. So why all the protests? Why are these islands so contentious between China and Japan?
There's a surface reason and there's a much deeper reason. First of all, these islands taken together only add up to 6 or 7 square kilometers. So you're only talking about a couple square miles of land. They're located about 100 miles northeast of Taiwan, which is to say about a quarter of the distance from Taiwan to the main islands of Japan. The surface reason that people sometimes cite is the possibility that there may be oil and gas under the territorial waters that correspond to these little islands. There's also the question of who controls the fishing rights, although much of this part of the world is already heavily overfished anyway. But the real reason this attracts so much emotion, the real reason why people are arguing over it, is that this is the unfinished legacy of World War II. And there is tremendous animosity still among many people in China over what Japan did during World War II. And on the other hand, there is a sentiment among many in Japan that Japan suffered and atoned, although it did not, may not have actually apologized for what it did in World War II, and they regard these islands as Japanese. So it's the legacy of World War II, it's national pride that's really driving this dispute.
National pride. So Keith Bratcher, often with lots of governments, especially more authoritarian governments, governments and activists might use things like this for their own domestic purposes. I think you noted in the New York Times that on the Chinese side, the government there usually discourages or suppresses protest unless, of course, it serves government purposes. Does this appear to be one of those times maybe?
In this particular case, the Chinese government does not appear to have wanted this to start. And while they do appear to have tried to channel and control the protests by having them in certain places, I have not heard of any evidence that the Chinese government was organizing the protests. In fact, the police here in Hong Kong tried to stop the protesters from going. The protesters prepared the initial group of protesters, that is the ones from, I guess it was 12 from Hong Kong, one from Macau, and one from mainland China. They prepared for this trip in such secrecy that, for example, one of the executive assistants to or secretaries for one of the group said today that she had no idea that her boss was even leaving town before he was suddenly gone. So the Marine Department here asked the police to stop the vessel. They did not want this to happen. And that in the case of Hong Kong, Hong Kong is a semi-autonomous city of China. That almost certainly means they were getting instructions from Beijing not to let the vessel go. The police boarded the vessel, only to discover that the activists who were heading for the island, for these islands, had locked themselves in. They'd locked the wheelhouse so that the police could not break in and change the direction the vessel was going. They'd locked the engine room so that the police could not go in and disable the engines. And they'd locked up the other access way down into the hull of the ship. So the police found themselves, they did not have the instructions to start breaking locks. They weren't sure what their legal basis was. and they reboarded the police launch 180 meters, that's a little less than 600 feet, before they entered international waters, at which point they would have had no jurisdiction at all to stop the vessels. So they did try to stop it. In fact, the police launch first gave the international stop signal. It was disregarded by the activists, and then the police even boarded it and tried to stop it. So that there is some evidence here that China did not want this. Now, that said, it's a very ticklish situation for China. You have had some people on the Internet in China saying that the Chinese Navy should have been accompanying this vessel. You had a major general of the People's Liberation Army, somebody who has a reputation as being outspokenly hawkish and may not be representative of military views more broadly. But you had somebody, a major general of the Chinese Army, saying, well, maybe we should be mining the harbors of these little islands, which was an extraordinary suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Inflammatory.
That was in response to the Japanese activists who landed in a sort of retaliatory move on Sunday.
So it seems like, Keith Bradshaw, in the minute we have left, it seems like the simmering resentments of conservatives, activists on both sides are really at play here, not necessarily a territorial or resource, fishery, or oil dispute between two powerful governments.
It is nationalistic impulses on both sides, but I wouldn't call it conservative. On the Japanese side, you can call it conservative. On the Hong Kong side, actually, they are democracy advocates who are critical of mainland China and the Communist Party, which is something mainland China glosses over. The activists who went are people who believe in greater Chinese glory, but not necessarily led by the Communist Party.
Simmering tensions between China and Japan, or at least some people in China and Japan, over a couple of islands. What was it, 6 square miles, Keith Bradshaw?
6 square kilometers.
A couple of square miles in the South China Sea. Keith Bradshaw, Hong Kong bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks for clearing it up for us, Keith.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.